This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and Sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast.
We just got back from Winterfest. I had some flight delays on the way home and a very funny but miserable experience in the Charlotte airport. How was your guys' trip home?
I mean, it was a breeze. It's just 2.5 hours south. We get to Todd's, throw everything in my car, and then another 45 minutes to the house.
So what did you actually buy at Winterfest?
Normally at Winterfest, I have a few things that I'm looking for that are attainable and I can find them. Pretty easy. And then A does the majority of our shopping, right? But this time, a couple different things. So right before we went out of town, we took in A's best friend for a week. His folks were out of town. His grandparents had COVID, but that meant he had to go to Kentucky with us. So the things I were looking for, I didn't expect to find. And the people that would have had them were the first people I spoke to. Put it on their radar. So if they come across it, boom. We get up there and with R with us, A had both R and Todd's son to run around with. So he was more disconnected from this show than he's probably ever been from any toy show we've gone to. So he didn't ask for money to spend. He didn't go shopping for himself. He didn't look for things on his list. The other part was we were so busy that Saturday, I didn't leave Destro's Toy Den booth until midday. We were just hammered down. And you know, you helped us set up. There was a lot. We had two full booths. We probably could have used a third booth, and we were rammed. And the surprise to me was how much classified we sold. Because that was the thing we thought would just sit in the corner and no one would touch. Classified was on fire.
I actually hung out at the booth pretty much the second half of Saturday because I was just completely out of steam. And I just was like, you know what? I've spent everything I want to spend. I will hang out at the booth and help out, which was a good thing I did because it was jammed all day. And also, Todd is very aggressive with classified pricing. And he had a really good selection. I have to pat myself on the back. I built a very beautiful display. Even though classified's not really my thing, I know what sells. So I put all the guys in eyesight that people want. It was a pretty busy show. And especially like Todd having the double booth was a lot. It was a lot consistently.
At the last Joe Fest, we had more space. Like more booth space, but one whole booth was parts bins. We only had one little bin or two bins at Winterfest. But in the two booths that we had a wall behind us, so we went high. So I think we really had more stuff in our two big booths than we had at Joe Fest. Of course, obviously, you know, discounting the dig bins that we have at Joe Fest. So yeah, we were hammered down. We were making it float. We sold his tank. We sold a ton of modern, or what do we call modern now? Since modern is the deadline, we just modern sculpt 4-inch.
I just call it the modern era.
We moved to Haya Snake Eyes, as well as, you know, our bread and butter, vintage O-ring Joes, and even Motu. Destro's Toy Den was on fire at Winterfest, and the crowd was incredible. So I don't know, like I'm kind of like hyping up me in the morning, you in the afternoon at the booth.
So before we get too far into the weeds of the show, what did you actually buy? Because you normally send a picture. You have not sent shit. So I'm like, I can't let it go. I need to know because there's one thing you've been looking for that I found that you did not buy.
Well, and that, not just that, but I, I just spoke a lot without ever answering your question the first time. So the thing I bought was 6 Strikeforce Alpha figures. Jason with Strikeforce Alpha was there. He had 2 Winterfest exclusives, which I don't know if he just hand-painted them or if that's something that they did elsewhere, but he had those 2, and then he had a good selection of his normal, of the normal Strikeforce Alpha stock. So I ran over and I bought the 2 exclusives, and then I sent Alexander over and had him choose 4 figures. So those 6 figures were the bulk of what I purchased.
Now, I believe those 2 were hand-painted because I overheard some chatter at the booth.
We've had them in play. They're not chipping, so...
I think the hand-painting element is like a wash or something. I didn't look that close, but that's... They look great.
They're zombified.
Yes.
So, you know, blue skin, blood everywhere, some dirt. He must have varnished them well because they're not chipping as we play with them. They're not getting special treatment. They are in play. And so now that I have Strikeforce Alpha in hand, I can compliment these figures. And I plan on at the next show, whether it's Toylana, since Jason is just an hour and a half south of me, or if it's at Joe Fest or wherever, I'm picking more Strikeforce Alpha up.
I mean, I'm glad to hear. I mean, it's, I hope all the, you know, O-ring rebirth lines deliver. But it seems like what we've gotten so far is coming out of the gate very strong.
And so what was the thing you found that I didn't pick up?
The modern Eaglehawk renamed Tomahawk.
Oh, yes. Roma had that.
For a smoking deal.
We talked about it, and I completely forgot about it by the time I got over to where Aaron and Mary Mercenary were set up, because I'm that guy.
I mean, it was a smoking deal, and they had it as I was saying goodbye, so maybe you can get it at the next show.
I mean, I'll see them in Xenia, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. My trip was a little bit strange, because on one hand, I did what I said I was trying not to do, but there's a twist. So I did buy a bulk lot of loose figures.
Which I heard you and Greg talk about when you were in the room recording for Anything Joe's, right?
Normally, I don't get into dollar specifics because the market changes so much, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
I got these figures for $3.30 a piece.
Damn!
So I stayed under budget. I wound up with 3 club figures not in the lot and a handful of troop builders, a ton of very interesting customs, which I talked about a little bit on Anything Joe's, and some like aliens world building stuff that would be great for Cobra La. I finally got the club's Gaucho, which is not a high dollar figure or really anything, but I've kind of always wanted them. And I finally just pulled the trigger. There was only 1 ROM on the sales floor, and it was at Todd's booth, sealed in the box with all the other figures. And I was flying.
Did you buy that?
No, because I was flying. Yeah, it was a very fun shopping trip for me because I did wind up with a bunch of stuff that I've never had before because it's customs. And I still got my bread and butter, which is Cobra Troopers, Modern Era Ninjas, handful of Data Vipers, et cetera, et cetera. But I was very happy because, thanks to Todd, I have finally closed out my Pursuit of Cobra collection 100% completely.
Wow. What was it?
It's not a big line, but I've needed the Dreadnought Doom Cycle for years. And I probably had 5 to 10 chances to buy that at retail or less. And I didn't because I kind of thought it sucked. And I paid $50 for it, which is absolutely fair. And it's about $30 more than retail. I believe it was around $20 when they came out. This is that thing that we talk about where if you see something, I could have got that thing for $10.
Right.
10 years ago. So I can't, get hung up on that. But it's a very interesting, weird trike.
I have one.
Yes. It comes with a unique Dreadnought, which I have. And there was a gentleman selling the trike itself for $5 at AR, but
it was missing the bits.
It was missing the character Stormrider comes with a nail gun and a hose. And the modern era is not like the vintage era. You're never going to find those parts on eBay. because people don't sell modern toys like that. So I would have eventually had to buy it in box anyways.
So you did.
So I did.
Well, thank you, Todd.
Yes. a big thank you to my dear friend, Todd. But yeah, I mean, I love hanging out at the booth. I love helping with the booth. I actually, as goofy as it is, I genuinely do enjoy loading in and setting up. I didn't get to tear down because I had a flight to catch, but...
Oh, we know.
I actually do really enjoy that. Now, I enjoy it a little less in the summer, which my next chance to help out will be at Joe Fest, where it's always miserably hot, but hey.
That is why at Joe Fest, we try and rush everything into the building at 8 a.m. and then set up. It's still warm in the building, but at least it's not in the sun.
I love the show. I can't wait for the summer edition. There was a few things missing at the show, like I think it's Matt Squatch who normally has all the custom 12-inch figures.
That would be... So Matt Squatch does have a few because he builds his own customs and has his own sets. But the one that was missing that you're probably looking for was Cotswold.
Yes.
So Cotswold has like the ton of heads. He's got the modern blank bodies that are of the 64 to 68 range.
Yes.
He wasn't there, and I don't think he comes to every Winterfest, but he should be there in July. And also, because of some personal things, the show itself didn't have a specific custom for Winterfest, but they will in July.
Yeah, so I really wanted to get one of the Cotswold reproduction of an Adventurer. I almost got one over the summer, but then I ended up buying the APC and some other stuff. I would have probably bought one this year. And I also have to give myself a pat on the back because I managed to get everything I bought in my like duffel bag backpack and made it home.
No shipping.
No shipping. It was close. It was like I looked at the stuff and I was like, well, my original pile, and I'll be repeating this from Anything Joe's, but the original pile I pulled from this guy's bins was probably a third bigger than the pile I got for... He told me $300 for the pile, and I like got really excited, and I was like, whoa, whoa. I was like, hey, man, that's an amazing price. I was like, I'm flying. I literally can't get this in my bag, and he just started laughing. What actually I'm hoping he has at Summerfest, if I drive, which I might drive, he had this massive Egyptian 118 diorama.
Oh, are you talking about Jimbo, who is set up right beside Chris?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so I bought... He was across from Todd at the summer show, and I bought a ton from him. And then this time, he was just a few aisles over. And that dio is everything I want. But there was literally... It was bigger than a carry-on item.
Jimbo is from my area. He's probably 30, 40 minutes south of me. So I've known him for a while. Good dude. Kind of quiet and... shows up, he sets up, he sells great stuff, a lot of modern, a lot of 6-inch. He was dying figures for a while back in the early days of Classified, and then he heads home. He doesn't really kick it with us. If he did, it would be cool. He's a sweet dude. So I'm glad that that's who you got to deal with. And yes, the dios he had 4 or 5 of them. I don't know how many he sold. I know he sold a couple. They were all just really, really specific and incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I look forward to seeing him at Kentucky because he always has bargains.
I mean, aside from buying things, in the evening, we all went to dinner and it was a bit of a train wreck. It always is when you invite 50 people into one restaurant. It is what it is. When we got back to the hotel, I ran into Mike from What's on Joe Mind and Hooded Cobra Commander 788 from his YouTube show. And I ran up to their room to hang out and chat for a bit. And you guys were already back from dinner and you guys were already in the room. And there were some text threads going back and forth with you guys and with Todd. And by the time I got down to your guys' room, you guys had already recorded and we played Switch until you were nodding off. That was Friday night. So I guess we're going back in time at this point. How was the bar con and the hanging out bits?
We went to dinner with the Davis brothers.
I barely got to talk to them. I barely got to see them this weekend. I kept seeing them in passing, but I never spent any time with them.
It was a great time. We opted out of going to where everybody else went because we kind of knew it was going to be a cluster. And I'm trying to eat a little bit better, which is ironic because I just wound up at a different fried food place, but whatever.
You skipped Gaddy's.
I did. I made an appearance and said hello at Gaddy's, and then Greg and I wound up at the Dairy Queen. But the Davis brothers are great. I hit a room sale before you came back and grabbed a couple little bits, some weird new, a new line that I didn't know existed from like 2011, I think. It's some video game like Red Omega, or no, that's a Marvel guy. I don't know. Some video game with like some sort of creature things, and they look like weird little monsters. So I was into that for my like cryptid world.
Of course.
But yeah, then we got back in the room and we were playing Switch, and that it's a very fast-paced show, especially when I'm flying, because I had to be at the airport by 5:30. I've been getting up super early for work, and then I did not go to bed early Friday night at all. I got up early on Saturday. I hit a wall really hard halfway through the day, and then I get to the airport. My second flight gets delayed. I get home about 2 hours later than I'm supposed to, and I was just like not doing well.
You didn't have to work Sunday though.
No.
Well, at least you had a day to recover.
Yes. So, but anyways, yeah. So hanging out was nice. You came in. You guys ridiculed me for how I play Mario Kart.
I think the phrase that will stick with me forever is just playing the game the way God intended.
Like I said, and I'll say it on here so it's recorded for the record, I put the cartridge in the machine and I press play. I don't alter the settings. I don't change anything.
I can tell you that Greg talked a little shit and I immediately chirped. I am not at all competitive except Mario Kart. And so Greg talked a little shit. I chirped immediately. Jaren said nothing. We sit down. Jaren is good as hell. And so I was excited. Jaren was dominating and it was cool. And now I want to play online with Jaren, because at one point when I was in front of him, he was giggling that we drive the same. And I was like, all right, this is going to be a lot of fun. And our favorite track for both of us was Baby Park. So at this point, I would do a 12 Baby Park track race with him just for the madness of that.
And Baby Park is insanity.
But yes, we were chirping at you a lot. You were having fun with it until you fell asleep at the couch, controller in hand.
Yeah, I was like, you know, window shutting down sound.
Well, I got back to my room a few minutes after 2 a.m., was up and ready to go at 7:30.
I mean, we say this every time, and I'll kind of conclude my portion of Kentuckiana by just saying, it's worth it. If you can swing it, it doesn't have the big hangout zone like Joe Fest or other big conventions, but
still has a lot of good breakout in people's rooms, bringing beers and video games. And yeah,
if you just set it up ahead of time, there's places to hang. It's a great show, and there's a ton of good stuff on the floor. I'm glad I didn't drive, because if I did, I probably would have spent more than I wanted to. There's never a shortage of good stuff. And this is the small show. The big show has more. So it's definitely, I have prioritized both of these into musts for me. Where before I was kind of doing every other and swapping them out. But it's a great time. It's a fun, fast show.
Hopefully we can get Steve or Larry to come back on in the next this year or next year or something, just to kind of update us on what their vision is for the show.
I'd love to discuss whatever the theming is for the summer show, because as we've also talked about, so we don't have to get too crazy into it, but the 12-inch world is all about theming.
Yeah, and this is the 60th for the 12-inch world. Show aside, you brought home some great things. I brought home very little, but I really like what I brought home. I've already started reading the book you handed me, which was the anthology book edited by Max Brooks from 2011. So I'm already reading that. The first story is very cool. Snake Eyes letting a dude drop off an icy roof is dark as hell right from the jump. So it's not made for kids. I guess that's probably and obvious when Max Brooks is your editor.
And there's no photos. It's all words.
Once we got back in town, Greg and Jaren quickly edited the live show that you guys did in your guys' room. And when I showed up, they were like, well, where were you? We recorded. And I was like, you never told me that you were recording until after it was done. So you can't put that on me this time. I mean, I special ferried my way all through that show. No one saw me twice, you know? You know, a few days later, we sat down with Casey, Matt, and Eric for their YouTube channel. We did a live podcast from the pit. I am not a live kind of guy. I like to edit. I make no, whatever you want to call it, I make no disguise, no anything. We edit the shit out of this show. If it's a 30-minute, if we post a 30-minute show, we talked for an hour and a half. That's just what we do. So to sit down for a live YouTube, not my comfort spot. But Casey, Matt, and Eric are very friendly. We've gotten to know them over the last few years of them being in the Joe community, ramping up really heavily from I Remember G.I. Joe to having G.I. Joe, their podcast, now their YouTube. They treated us well. Jaren showed up, Greg did not, from Anything Joe's, and it was genuinely a blast.
Yeah, it's a new experience for me as well, doing sort of a live video thing, but it was fun. It was very natural, and it was very much like hanging out just at a computer.
Except for I couldn't scurry off.
Except for you were landlocked. I know Jaren hinted at it. I know the three of the podcast from the pit crew are coming to Joe Fest. The Davis brothers, I believe, are locked in for Joe Fest. Obviously, you and I are locked in.
Yep.
It is looking like there is a decent possibility for Greg and Jaren to make it, which would be huge.
I kind of feel like the same way as I feel when I order things off from online. I don't want to talk about it until it's in hand. I hope so, man, but I'm doubting it.
I'm sending out the optimism and the positive vibes, if you will.
How about the bullying, peer pressure?
I'm going to go with the positive energy on this one. You can do the bullying, but...
Greg, get in someone's car. Let's go.
I am just... I mean, every time we leave a show, I'm always really happy. This is a special one because I have made a major step in accepting reality after the show.
Yeah, you did.
So I finally decided that I was going to clear out my classified duplicates, to which I have a lot, like a disgusting amount. You know, I had 9 of one troop builder, 7 of another, 5 of another, 4 of another.
Normal, calm, rational amounts.
Now, the great thing about me having my like ups and downs of the line is that I didn't open a lot. So I mean, all nonsense aside, I spent Saturday day into the late evening digging through boxes and bins that are buried in my unfinished basement. And I finally managed to pull out everything extra. And I went through, made a huge document with everything. Today, I went through and just gave myself somewhat of a price range for what this is going for, you know, on average on eBay. I feel like I'm pretty realistic about what ratio someone would offer me, but I am excited because I got everything out, I organized it, boxed it up, and I labeled each box with what numbers and what specialty items were in each box. And now I'm just going to send it out to a few people, you know, digitally, say I'm looking to, you know, get rid of this stuff. It's all sealed. And I'm very excited because there's a lot of really cool 4-inch stuff coming down the pipeline. We both got our RoboSkull figures. I have not had a chance to open mine yet, but I believe the figures will be live in their store tomorrow, which will be yesterday when you're hearing this. I'm probably going to want to order a few more of those. But there is a massive amount of Eagle Force figures that are apparently going to hit all at once. And believe the rumor mill, someone sent it to me, but I don't use Facebook, so I couldn't get into the page. But I believe they are working with BBTS on some sort of installment plan
Oh, nice. Well, send me that because I can look it up for you.
Okay, because I believe it's somewhere, if you order just one of everything. Now, I don't order one of everything from Eagle Forest. But if you order just one of everything from what's coming, it's somewhere around 30 figures.
Oh, whoa. Holy shit. Okay.
Because it's multiple waves. I think they're kind of facing what Hasbro just went through with, hey, I know these were supposed to be spaced out. Sorry.
Gotcha.
I believe that they're working on trying to figure out an installment plan to make it more
palatable.
And I mean, I'll tell you right now, they have a bunch of Red Shadow homage figures and I have pre-ordered heavy. I have no intentions of reducing those because they're probably going to sell out and I don't want to miss them because they are...
This isn't classified. This is your line.
This is my scale and I want a lot of them because they look like classic Red Shadows, but they're articulated and I have Robo Skulls coming. I have the Red Wolf Troopers and I am ready to build a massive Red Shadows army. So I am not going to cancel any of that stuff, which is also part of the reason why I was like, I need to sell some of this extra classified stuff because it's been hard to keep up with the amount of stuff shipping. So
that is going to be amazing when it comes in.
I talked about it briefly when I switched my pre-order strategy to just one. Having all this stuff boxed up and ready to go has like really made me excited in an odd way for the stuff I have pre-ordered. Like I'm more excited for the Vamp now than I was when I ordered it.
So even though you're shedding all of this extra classified, you're still down for the Vamp.
Well, I'm excited to enjoy this line at just one of everything.
That makes sense.
Because I can choose to open it. I can leave it boxed. I was trying to hold out until my room was finished so I could make a display. But honestly, I had 172 boxed classified figures. We are not at number 172. So
right.
Figure it out. You know, like, I went a little bit excessive on everything because that's kind of what I do. You know, it has definitely given me a really nice refresher attitude-wise on the line. And I mean, we just had G.I. Joe Day. The reveals look really good.
Gorgeous.
I am really excited that the Night Creeper isn't quite what I wanted. I still like it, but it means that I'll probably get three.
Okay.
I love the Night Creeper. If it was more based on the modern stylized one that we never got, that we kind of got that weird 5-inch one from the movie line, I would be in trouble because that is like, if I ever came across a factory sample of that figure, which I don't think they existed, I think there's just a painted prototype, that might be one of the pre-production figures that I try to play ball with. I just love that design and it really, really bums me out that we never got it. It was in the concept case and that was the end.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm excited for everything. I have no critiques. I really like classified, but O-ring is my heart. And so no matter what, I would do one of everything classified if A didn't play. Since A plays, we're doing three of the builders, one of the regulars. And we open it all. So I didn't have quite the sellable stash that you have. I will say, though, you mentioned Skeletron, which I was going to bring up later. It's now later. I went hard on Skeletron. We both did. But for me, it was the O-ring. When he dropped an O-ring figure, I went from, oh, I need one of each, to I just need one 4-inch and I need O-ring. So I was honored enough to have a Skeletron figure in my pocket at Winterfest. I had it Friday night. And so as I'm getting into the elevator with Mike and Brian, Aaron and Mary Mercenary get in the elevator with us. And so I go, well, you four are all friends with the Skeletron crew. You four are all O-ring people. I pulled it out all Saturday. Anytime somebody was like talking about it or, you know, wishing their package would show up or asking about it or saying how they wish, you know, O-ring was still a thing in the modern day, I pulled it out. At one point, Harper pulled out a Strike Force Alpha and handed it to me, which is where I went, I knew they were going to be here. I had planned to buy. I'm in. Let's go. Right? That was Friday night before I had the figure in hand. So Saturday, I walked up and I put it in his hand and I was like, you need to order some Skeletron if you haven't yet. It was a blast having it in hand. I left the equipment in the room, right? So I get home, my package and everything arrives. I have 13 of the O-ring. Now, I cut a few off the card so I can set those aside. I don't need 13 card backs of Skeletron. I let Alexander rip a few off the card, just like you and I did when we were kids, right? I didn't expect the pushback I got on Facebook. That was interesting. Some people are really in their feels about ripping a modern bubble off the card, but hey, to each their own. Now, if you read the Skeletron foul card, he sounds like a one-off. So we only head swapped one figure. So Skeletron has 12 wolf troops behind him. You know, I have another 10 or 12 of the Riot Commandos. Now I have 6 of the Strike Force Alpha. I was looking at Heavy Armor's site, and I know we skipped their Navy Kickstarter because we had a whole lot of questions that just didn't seem to get answered. But I've seen their site. I've talked to people that have their toys. I would like to see what they're talking about. So I'm going to order a couple. Not yet. I'm about to go to Atlanta Comic Con and hand a Hasbro His Tank to a friend. So after that,
I have held one of the Hemi Armor figures in my hand.
Oh, okay.
So our buddy J.E. Russell from Chicken Fried Toys had a couple at AR. And I told you in passing, I'm not holding it against you. You never made it over to check him out.
I mean, I made it to his booth and he was busy chirping at me about trying to get A into his Dime Novel Legends. He didn't bring it up to me. I forgot to ask. Instead, we were chirping at each other, which is, you know, what friends do.
They feel, you know, they feel nice. They look good. I mean, they have a few homage figures right now that you can get on eBay.
You're just the wrong half of Order of Battle to put in, yeah. To hand the O-ring to. Sure.
I was the wrong guy. But they you know, they're neat. I'll put this out. You know, I did look at a couple of the Strike Force Alphas on card, and I said this on Podcast from the Pit episode, but I feel a bit validated, even though I'm not an O-ring guy, but I have often talked about how I feel like the middle years had a lot of really good concepts that the tech was just not there to make, which is why we wound up with a lot of really weird proportions and a lot of oversized equipment, secondaries. G.I. Joe has had oversized guns since the 90s and even in the 80s. In the middle years, I had figures that had wrist swivels, ankles. That's not entirely new to, you know, O-ring G.I. Joe.
These guys pull all the way apart. You can pull off their elbow joints. So you can swap out a lot of things. I think A has even put feet on the wrists and hands on the ankles. It is modular to the extreme for an O-ring figure. So it absolutely does not feel like a vintage Joe. It feels more middle years, but it's nice.
I feel like the middle years, what they were going for, if they would have had the tech to do it, would have probably aged a lot better than they did.
I would love to sit down and talk to Jason and Matt about this line. Matt and I have talked previously about doing something. I'm just very bad at scheduling, as everyone knows. I'm excited by them, but the Skeletron figure really does have a bit more of a vintage feel to it. You know, it's that collaboration between the Skeletron boys and the Grindstone boys, and Grindstone intentionally is aiming for 86, and the shoulders on the Skeletron look very 87, Battle Force 2000-ish. It has a heft and a weight, and it feels very vintage. Something that a lot of people may not really pay attention to. And you're not going to see this at all on Strike Force Alpha because it is so middle years to modern. You know, Chris, Scott, and I have been talking about that maybe a lot of people won't notice, but Skeletron is not 80s glossy. It has some spots, but it also has some matte finish. So parts of it look modern, but it does feel vintage. The equipment certainly feels modern, but I don't think there's really a way around that. The sword, the hand blade thing, and the pistol all peg in. It's kind of cool, man. It's really, really cool. I would love to sit down with Mark and with Ben and just chat about this. Now, that's all O-ring. We did get one 4-inch Wolf Trooper in, and my thought was, hey, this looks nice. I'll just set it right over here. But A wanted to open it. So open it we did. Damn. All right. If something was going to make us a 4-inch family, it would be that figure. But A played with it for about 20 minutes and then put it on display with all of his other toys and then went back to the O-ring, which is not an indictment at all. That's just, we're an O-ring family. You're a 4-inch family. This is just how the game works, right? But it was badass enough that he wanted to open it.
Did you guys get one of the goggles figures?
6-inch, yes. 4-inch, no. This is also where he said, oh, I would love to get the rest of the 4-inch line. My thought is, why if we're going to play only with the O-ring? But then I think, well, that's silly. Of course we should. But instead of ordering it online, I want to do it face-to-face. You have really championed buying things from people when you see them. And I will buy online all day long if I need it now or if it's like super important. But if I can wait and I know I'm going to see them, I can buy it in front of them. For years, I've been buying complex pieces from Raging Spoon when I see him at the booth. If I'm going to buy Dime Novel Legends or when he's done with it, the Cops figures, I'm going to get that from Alyosha in person. So with 4-inch Skeletron, there's no heavy need. So when we see them in person, unless I go hard on a bunch more Skeletron O-ring figures, we'll grab some 4-inch. We might go hard on some more O-ring, just to be fair. And when I run into Jason and Matt at shows, I will be picking up more and more of the Strike Force Alpha, without a doubt. So now, we just need some Delta 17 in our life. I don't know.
I don't know much about that line.
It's O-ring, so it's all for me.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff looks neat. I like the idea of like Orc Commandos and stuff like that.
That's different. That's the fist.
Okay.
And so that O-ring, so that's the sad part, is the fist Orc Commander O-ring was coming out through Zyka Toys' Wretch Rose line, and that Kickstarter failed.
Okay.
The Riot Commando is part of that line. And aside from the knee pads, hey, they're trying something. Not my favorite, but it's not bad. That figure is fantastic. Double-jointed head, the whole nine. I love it. A put his Mark II design ahead of himself on a Riot Trooper. I put mine first on a Televiper, but now on a Skeletron Wolf Trooper. So I guess I am part of the Wolf Pack now, the Red Army. So we're not going to get the Orc Commando O-ring unless Fist wants to try it again somewhere else, or if Zyka does a second run. I don't know. But the last two O-ring Kickstarters Zyka has done has failed, and it hurts me because we are starting to, in hand, achieve the O-ring renaissance that we've all been hoping for years. And to see two Kickstarters go down in the middle of that saddens me because I want to see O-ring succeed. And I'm always worried that if one fails, the next will fail. But, you know, as things end up in hand, I think maybe the next couple Kickstarters will be all right. I know it's not your line. You're hoping for a 4-inch, I guess not Renaissance or Revival, but rather the deathbed saving as 6-inch is trying to murder 4-inch off.
I think the people creating 4-inch will stay because the indies all seemingly do pretty well. I know that Boss Fight has said that they're abandoning their strict theming and they're going to start doing some mixed waves and they're bumping sci-fi up, which is huge.
Fresh Monkey Fiction has moved to 6-inch and Marauders is now moving or has a 6-inch coming. I hope they all stay in the 4-inch game.
I think Marauders will definitely, Boss Fight will definitely, they've reassured everyone that they're not leaving 118. Fresh Monkey Fiction, I mean, I have to assume that they will at least keep a decent amount going because their stuff sells out on BBTS. And every time they have like a warehouse event, if you do not act fast, the stuff sells out. Like I was acting fast. I lost out on a figure in a matter of 30 seconds.
Wow.
That being said, and I also know that BBTS is a strong partner for them within the 118th realm as well. So I'm going to assume, again, I'm making assumptions based on retail.
Yeah, this is all speculation. We have no behind the scenes knowledge.
But what I'm saying is, you know, when I see the stuff sell out on BBTS and the only way to get it is ordering waves, that's a good sign because there's plenty of other toy lines from bigger companies that you can find and find and find until they wind up at discount stores. And that's no shade because that's retail.
Yeah.
I feel pretty confident. I mean, I mean, Marauders Vietnam stuff is chugging along. They just sent an update semi-recently. That's going to be massive. I feel pretty decent. I'm also fine with a little bit of a recouping era for me where I can kind of get some debt under control and then worry about the massive amount of Red Shadows Eagle Force I have coming. We say this all the time, and it's probably a great place to wrap up, but like, it's an awesome time to be a toy fan.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been the Order of Battle.